Hello and welcome everyone to the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea, simplifying licensing for inventors, product developers, and idea people. If you are here looking to learn about how to get your product to market through the route of licensing, you are in the right place. Stay tuned and make sure to join the others who are on their licensing journey. Hello and welcome everyone to another InventRight podcast. My name is Sylvia Pomazak. I am your host for the Key to Licensing One Simple Idea. And today we have a student of ours, Eric Van Dalen, and who recently licensed a product. And so welcome, Eric. Thank you so much for joining us today. We look forward to hearing your story.
Well, thank you for having me, Sylvia.
So let's start with just give us a little bit of a background on who you are and where you're coming from.
Okay, well, to give you an idea of my age, I graduated high school in 1989. immediately joined the military. I was in the Navy for 11 years, and I got out and started a business. I'm a building service contractor, and basically a mom and pop cleaning service in my small town of Dillon, Montana.
And how many people are in Dillon, Montana?
3,500 if you don't count the college students.
Wow.
To give you an idea of how remote we are, you can go to a map, put a pin on Dillon, go out 50 miles, make a complete circle, and there are not 10,000 people.
Oh my gosh, wow. So you can be everybody's contractor, and you can do the work for everybody.
that's basically what has happened.
Well, that's good then. Everybody knows your name, so that's actually nice. Well, what brought you to inventing? What carried you to this way and onto this path?
That's a great idea. Well, being a visionary is somebody that gets a new idea in the shower every morning. Many visionaries end up having their own businesses.
Yes. Like,
I have had several. And I was having these ideas about perhaps, inventing something, building a widget, and working out into my garage, and building these things, which looking back would have been a terrible idea. But I woke up one night at like 2 a.m. I went out to my office and I just put into Google how to invent something. And I came across this video of Stephen Key being interviewed, and it was about 20 or 30 minutes. And my key takeaway was the licensing model. And so I got the book, One Simple Idea, downloaded it, listened to it immediately, over the next couple of days. And then at some point, I started the coaching program. As a matter of fact, that was at the tail end of December of 15. Mm-hmm. And I convinced my wife for my birthday in February, I didn't want anything else but this coaching program. So we started that on my birthday, essentially, in 2016.
Uh-huh. So you started the program officially in 2016. And you read the book, you found the book, you saw the video with Stephen, and decided that licensing was the path that you wanted to take.
Correct.
And how many ideas did you have when you were starting? Was it a bookload of ideas? Was it just one idea or one product that you wanted to focus on?
That's a great question. I don't think I had any ideas, but as soon as I decided that I was going to do this program, I started generating ideas.
You came in with, I know I want a license. I don't necessarily have ideas right now per se drawn on a piece of paper, but I can get there.
Yes.
That's amazing, because some people think that you already have to have like a hashed out, full fledged, prototype running in the backyard. And realizing that you don't even have to have an idea, just the want to learn the process and I know I want to license, and the ideas will come, but this is the process of which I will need to follow.
Yeah, I think it's that commitment that I made.
Yeah.
I spent money to join this coaching program, and I'm going to hit it full guns. And I had 25 ideas before I even signed up.
So you started going before you were like, okay, I'm going to do this program. I don't have any ideas right now, so let's start cranking some out.
Yes, but I knew that I could come up with some because I'm built that way.
Yeah, that's naturally who you are. That's just part of who you are, how you think.
Yes.
Amazing. That's fantastic. All right. So you started the coaching program. Do you remember who your coach was? Take us through how things went with your experience through the program.
Well, my coach is David. Mm-hmm. He's awesome. I would meet with him in the beginning. I didn't meet with him as regularly as I did later on, which was once a week. And I would do, it was funny, just getting the sell sheet done back in the beginning was a huge hurdle for me. I remember celebrating. I got my first sell sheet done, and I went fishing for the afternoon. It was just like, hooray!
That's great.
And that's a major victory when you're starting out. Later on, it was just a matter of course, and you can get to those first six or seven steps very quickly in a day, easily.
Yes, yes.
But at the beginning, it was quite the celebration. And so I didn't visit with David as much in the beginning because the process was taking so long, if you will. But then as I would listen to the webinars, mm-hmm. I would get ideas, I'd get questions. So I'd write all my questions down for the week, and then he and I would talk, and I would just shoot him questions. He's very quiet, so kind of like myself, but and I want to make the most of our 25 minutes. So it was just me shooting questions at him, and he would answer my questions. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And so what did you find to be some of the challenges through the process as you were going through it? Because I know a lot of times individuals expect, but there's either certain expectations that they come in with it, or that, or they're not certain of what things are going to look like necessarily. So what were some of the challenges that you found as you were going through the process?
Staying focused was a big challenge, especially because I work in the evenings. I wasn't available for the webinars. Mm-hmm. I wasn't able to be in this community that I suppose many of the other students are in. And it's an encouraging community. Being on the webinars encourages you because you're surrounded by other inventors and you get all fired up for the next challenge that you have. And I didn't necessarily have that. So that was difficult for me. But what I did is I downloaded them. I recorded them with my GarageBand on my computer, and then I listened to them. So that was how I got around that hurdle. But I'd say staying focused was a big deal because there's so many distractions that we have to deal with in our life, mm-hmm. between email and phone and family. But I guess if I was to summarize it into one word, it would be like loneliness. And I'm not trying to, play harp strings, but but the the coaching calls with David were a big help.
Mm-hmm. So what do you mean by loneliness? Do you mean because you were doing it on your own, like by yourself?
Yes. Yep. Yeah. I mean, I'm in my office right now, and I love my office, but it's separate from the house, and there's nobody here, and that's fine. It's a great place to focus on work, but, it's nice to have interaction with other people.
Yeah.
That's something that I was missing.
Yeah. No, I completely understand. I remember when I first started working for InventRight out of my home office, I used to work with a bunch of people all the time. You know, so you're constantly socially interacting. And so when I left that, it took me about a month to get adjusted to being by myself. And I would joke with my old coworkers that I was going to make bobbleheads, or I would make dolls of them and put them on the windowsill. But you're absolutely right. I believe the sense of community that there is within the InventRight support team. So just all the coaches, Andrew and Steven, and then being on the webinars. I couldn't be on the webinars when I was a student because I had my boys. So I, at the time that they had the webinars going, I was, you know, feeding, bathing, putting them to bed. So I would listen to the recordings. And so I would listen to the recordings. And you're right, listening to those webinars was such a great source of inspiration. Even though it wasn't live, it still gives you, it just still gives you momentum, and it still, you're able to write down questions, and it still drives you, basically. It still helps to keep you driven and keep you focused. So yeah. I totally can relate with being by, you know, being by yourself. Now, granted, I talk to people all day long, even though I don't see them face to face, but, you know, but it can be very lonely. And I think that the inventing world, and especially the licensing world, can tend to be lonely, because you can go to your local inventors meeting, or you can go to a small business meeting, or there's a lot of entrepreneurs that are doing a variety of things. But when it comes down to licensing, who do you really have to talk to, or who do you really have to go to, or who do you really know that, you know, whether it's across the street or wherever it might be, that can say, oh, I've licensed before, I know how to do this, I understand the process, and then be able to actually go through the process with them, because and not feel like you're by yourself. And so having somebody there to listen to every single week, that you can ask questions to, that you can eventually start joking around with, and it just that connection and that relationship builds not only as you're going through the process of licensing, but it helps so much with just maintaining and being able to manage with everything else that's going on with life as well.
Agreed. So this, one of the things I do, so I'm holding up my little iPod that I attached to my shirt.
Uh-huh.
Stick one earbud in my ear while I'm working, because, you know, I work a dull, normal job in the evening. When I'm around people, I'll unplug, but I would listen to hours of webinars in a week. Mm-hmm. And then, but now what I do is I have an old phone, and I still listen while I work to other things, but now I have an old phone in my truck, and I can plug it in through a USB, and I call it Toyota University. When I'm driving around, I'm listening to stuff, getting educated, you know.
Yeah.
And that's a great way to propel you in your business and learn and make, you know, use of the time that we have. There is a workaround to the loneliness, if you will. Mm-hmm. You want to know what it is?
Yeah.
It's called pick up the phone.
It is.
I would get so excited when I'm pitching my product. You know, I'm like, oh, okay, I don't want to pick up the phone, because nobody wants to cold call people. It's very humbling. But boy, once I've made a couple of calls, I would get so excited just talking to people and pitching my, you know, trying to get my sell sheet in or my video. Mm-hmm. It became enjoyable, and I looked forward to it.
Yeah. Well, I think that's a great outlook to have and a great attitude to have when you are calling and contacting companies, because you should be excited about your product. And then I think a lot of individuals do struggle with that part, and it might not be exciting or fun for them to to contact companies or to talk to people. And that's okay as long as they continue to challenge themselves to that part and try and get into more of a mindset of, okay, let's just call individuals and start talking to people, because people do like to be, you know, social. They just want to connect. It's okay to call, ask questions. You know, people do want to help you. And so not being afraid to pick up the phone and start calling companies and talking to people. That is a great way to work around it and work around the loneliness. Absolutely. Yeah. So, yes. Okay. So let's go back to talking about your recent licensing deal. And tell us the story about that. So obviously you don't have to give the specifics of what the product is, or what you can tell us as much or as little as you want, but just kind of how that felt and, you know, the story behind that.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I have all the data in front of me. It was a long process.
Yes.
I got the idea in August of 2016. And initially, it wasn't very exciting to me. It was one of several ideas that I brought to David. And I was like, hey, you know, what do you think? Because I just kind of bounced it off of it. It's nice to bounce my ideas off of another person. And he kind of wiggled. He kind of went like this when I mentioned this one idea. And I was like, ooh, I think I might have something here. Mm-hmm. So, and the interesting thing about this idea is it's a kitchen gadget. I think I can say that, right?
You can, absolutely.
And I knew what I wanted, but I didn't know how to build it. And I know this guy in town, he's very innovative. He's very mechanically inclined. And I'm like, hey, can you build this thing for me? And man, he did it. And I didn't even know how to make it work, but he made it just so simple. I mean, like stupid simple. And I was like,
wow,
this is cool. This is really cool. So, I mean, I paid him $100. So for $100, I got this outstanding idea. So that was August of 2016, got a prototype, started calling people in November. And by the way, steps 1 to 7 took me 18 hours. I was just keeping track of all of this. So 18 hours, steps 1 to 7. I started pitching it on November 8th, and I got an immediate interest from one company, sent them a prototype. It wasn't for them. They sent it back. In total, I pitched this idea to 168 companies. I mean,
yes.
Time I came across a new company.
168 companies.
Yeah.
Bam.
No easy.
Some people
path.
Give up after 2, my friend. Some people end it after 2. 168. That's amazing. Amazing.
I pitched it to the huge guys and the little guys. I mean, everybody and everybody in between. So it was a total of about 158 hours on the phone, 258 phone calls, and this is probably less than the actual numbers, and 876 emails. And many people heard from me 5 to 10 different times. You know, I would call, and then I'd send an email. You know, numerous times I heard back. They heard from me. And it worked. So I recorded a little video for my product, and it had 495 views. I spent $560 on it between, you know, the $100 for the guy to build it and other miscellaneous stuff, almost $600. I negotiated with 4 to 5 different companies, and that was companies that I would even send the prototype to. And unfortunately, about 3 of these were just so small, these companies. They were interested in it. They saw potential. But they couldn't make it. We couldn't make it work. They were just too small. They didn't have the market penetration that we needed.
Yeah.
I got 84 no's. 84 companies said, no, it's not for us. But what encouraged me was there were 32 companies that made what I call pleasant comments. They're like, oh, hey, that's pretty neat. It's not for us, but hey, that's nice.
Yeah.
32 companies. So David and I agreed, there's something here, and I just needed to keep going with it.
Yeah.
Back last spring, I had interest from a company that was deep into home shopping network. Uh-huh. And there was all this excitement and everything. Oh, this is going to get on HSN. Wow, this would be great. And it fell apart. I think it fell apart with, 4 to 5 companies. But the most recent company, I had perceived that they were a small company. They had expressed a little bit of interest, but I kind of kept them in my back pocket for a little while. And this was last spring, while I pitched to some other companies. And so when I was done with these other companies, I went back to this one that I was keeping in my back pocket, and we got a deal going. And come to find out, now that I'm working with an attorney on the patent, they're actually a subsidiary of a larger company.
Wow.
And they do, as a matter of fact, the CEO of the company has made my product his personal project. That's his words.
My God, this is unbelievable. Like sometimes I listen to people's stories and like this just does not seem, this is unreal. This is incredible. Okay, keep going. Okay.
He's extreme potential for this product. And he says, yeah, I was down in Florida. I was visiting. He has a friend at HSN. I was visiting with my friend at HSN. And he says, hey, do you have any kitchen gadgets? And he's like, yeah, but I don't have the prototype with me. So he gives him a sell sheet. He'd made a sell sheet for my idea, you know. But he is going to try to get it on HSN, which is cool because last spring I was just devastated by this. When things fell apart. So
when things fell apart, yes. That I remember when the deal fell apart with my like the two products that I licensed. Mm. And I mean it's like gut wrenching. It is like I gotta be honest. You know it's not pleasant. It's not a pleasant experience or moment. And then I feel like it's the stage of grief, which is, I know that I'm totally exaggerating and what, but it's just this process that you have, that you go through. And then eventually you're okay. It's okay. You move on and it's okay. It's going to be all right. So we do this to ourselves, even with products and deals that fall through. Oh my God.
Yeah, we just have to move forward. You know, we're just you just have to put one foot in front of the other and try not to be emotional about
yes.
these things. I mean,
yes.
honestly, this deal right now, absolutely, it could fall apart. It could fall apart any day, or it could get all the way to the shelves at Walmart and nobody buys it.
Right. Okay, so let's talk about this, Eric. Okay. The emotional aspect of this, I almost feel like because you and I both went through experiences of our products falling through, I feel like I'm in a better state of mind because of it. I'm actually really glad that it happened. It's a reality check, you know, it's a really great reality check. Like, hey, listen, people might not like it. You could have done your market research until the cows come home. At the end of the day, is someone going to show up at Walmart and pick it off the shelf and buy it? Like,
we hope so,
but we don't have crystal balls. We don't have crystal balls. So how did you, like that emotional aspect of it, did you work through that with David? Was there therapy involved? I mean, how do you get through that, right?
Wow, that's a great question. I don't know. I didn't have therapy with David. I just let my wife know. I let some of my friends know. You know, I kind of keep it close. I kind of keep it with a few friends because I don't want to disappoint a bunch of people because everybody gets all excited, you know, but they don't understand that, getting past the company, getting a company to license it and manufacture it and get it to the store, that's step one. That's a huge hurdle. The next step is the market has to get excited about this product for it to go anywhere. So I don't even want to get people excited about step one because they don't understand.
They don't understand yet. They don't understand yet. They got to go through the experience. They got to go through the experience to have the understanding of which, you know, of what's, what is going to transpire or happen next, or
Totally get you. A great cure for disappointment and heartache is to just go work. I mean, work is a great distraction from the trials of life. You know, go organize the garage, you know, go mow the lawn.
Heck yeah.
Go work on another project and just keep working at it. Yes. It's like a salad tongue idea. I'm sorry. Can you edit that out?
Yeah, I can edit whatever. Yeah.
Okay.
No, I can edit. So yeah, we'll edit everything out. Dogs barking, whatever you want. We'll edit whatever out.
So what was I going to say? Oh, it was absolutely, it was tedious. It, I mean, 258 phone calls. I think it must've been more than that. One day I spent, I think it was somewhere between 3 and 5 hours standing here. I have a standing desk, standing here at my desk. And I did not leave my desk for somewhere between 3 and 5 hours. And I was calling companies. That's tiring, boy. And it's just keeping
it. It's hard effing work. And I can't swear, so I'm just going to say the F word. It's hard work. This is anything in life. Anything in life is hard freaking work, people. Yeah. I don't care what you do, what you want to do. There will not be a shortcut. It will not go that way. Life does not work that way. So you better love it. You better say to yourself, I'd rather go to the grave putting in the hard work and the effort and not giving up and getting up after I'm getting punched right and left, you know, like rejected, all this stuff. But dang it, I'm going to say I did it. I instead of thinking about it, instead of saying I'm going to do it, instead of making 5,000 excuses, I mean, you have to keep going. You continue on, you press on. And it's hard work, physically, emotionally, spiritually. it is hard work. So, and sometimes we make it out to be a little bit, it sounds like it's easy, you know, and the process, like the steps are there, but there's so many little intricacies behind it too. Like there's a lot more to it than what some people might think they need to do. Oh, I watched the video and I did the, and I read the book and I'm plugging along. I'm like, sister, you haven't even gotten started yet, you know? So I don't know. Okay. Off on my tangent. Back to you, Eric.
Okay. But there, you know, ideas, you can go out and pick up any ideas off the app, off the idea tree.
Yeah. You know,
there is an infinite number of ideas. And some of those, many of those ideas, you're not going to have to make 250 phone calls. I mean, back in the beginning, when I first started pitching this, within the first hour, I had pitched it to a company and she emailed me, she called and she emailed, and it was amazing. I was like, wow. A response, a positive response already. Yeah. I was super excited. So it can happen. I mean, it could have happened with this one. If this had been the first, you know, if this first company had called me and licensed it, would have been wonderful. Instead, it took, you know, a couple of years. And that's okay.
And that's okay. It's okay. And I love it. I think a lot of individuals will quite easily or quickly give up after it doesn't happen in 6 months, the first year, then a year and a half or two. And why didn't you give up? Like, why did you keep going?
Because I knew that I had something.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I knew the potential. And my dad was so excited. He's like, oh, Eric, you know, 10 million households in America. And if we could just get one of those in half of those households, he's doing all the numbers. He's all excited, you know.
Oh, my gosh.
That was, and I try to play a lot of that down.
Yeah.
It did make me think, wow, yeah, that could be something for me.
That you know, could be that something.
Yeah, and it'd be worth it. I mean, think about it. 155 hours total. Let's round that up to 200. 40-hour work week. Is that 5 weeks?
Yeah.
If you worked on it for 40 hours a week, that's 5 weeks out of my life that I spent on this project. And what is the return going to be? I don't know yet, but perhaps it could be a bucket load.
Yeah.
And in the meantime,
that is worth, yeah. And you know what I notice? What I've noticed, you have two sides of the brain, your right brain and left brain. So you're very analytical with the numbers and everything that you are, which I love, because there's sometimes just the analytical side of it and then not the creative end of it or the inability to match or pair the two together. But I noticed that you have both the right brain and the left side brain working together. Do you find that either one conflict? Do you find the numbers? Oh, yeah. You're like, damn these numbers, you know? Do you find that it can sometimes conflict with the other side of the brain that says, I want to create, I have all these ideas, forget the numbers.
Yeah, sometimes I get upset at myself for even keeping track of all this stuff. You know, it seems like it could be a, you know, a waste of time, but hopefully it's useful for somebody today.
I think that you have those both and you don't, I think that it's fantastic. I mean, having that information, I love data. I love that information, that data that you have with, and then it's a matter of how do you use it? Is it helpful? That's what you use the data for. That is what you use the data for, not right. Like that's how I see it as well. Okay. If you're keeping track of things and how you have your time, like I think it's such a great way to stay organized and see patterns of how you're improving, getting better, list of companies, all that, as long as it also doesn't go into like a negative type of, thing. Cause a lot of people can use data in a bad way. And I hear it a lot and I just don't like that. So you don't want it to overpower. You don't want it to overpower the creative side and also like this belief. Having a belief and faith and passion and drive and conviction, because what if the data, what if the numbers say to give up or are telling you, you know, to stop? Like that's I think where people can really get hung up and forget about, there's also going to be other elements outside of the numbers, you know. Does that make sense? I don't know if I'm even getting to what I'm trying to say, but that's what I'm trying to say.
The numbers for me are a reality check. I mean, I think our tendency is to be pessimistic and, oh, I pitched to hundreds of companies. No, it was 168. Thousands of phone calls. No, it was 258. And thousands of emails. No, it was 876. And hundreds and hundreds of dollars I spent. No, it was only 506.
Love it. So it keeps you, I love that. It gives you a sense of what the reality is versus the distortion that your mind is playing that feeds into, this isn't work for me. I'm going to give up. I've done thousands and and it just doesn't work. Whereas when you keep track of things, it does give you that reality check of, these are the facts of what you actually have done. These are the facts of how much time you've actually spent.
Generating ideas. Mm-hmm. And we didn't talk about that, but one of the great ways to generate ideas is relax, because mm-hmm. we're so keyed up.
Yes.
In our culture with phones and internet, we're always getting messages. We need to relax. Mm-hmm. The brain's like a muscle, and it needs to relax. When that muscle, brain muscle, is relaxed, then your subconscious can go to work. And if you ever notice, when you're in the shower, everything's on autopilot. You're relaxed, and that's yeah. why we get ideas. So occasionally, we need to put everything down, go take a walk, relax. You'd be amazed how many ideas you can get while you're, you know, taking a walk. So do that, try that. So when you get ideas in, you have to put them into the funnel, go through the steps, and be persistent.
Yes. Excellent. Well, Eric, I want to thank you so much for being a guest on the podcast today. And it was such a pleasure to talk to you. And also, we are grateful to have you as a student in the program. And you've just worked so hard and have done such a phenomenal job. I know that a lot of individuals will benefit from listening to this. So I want to thank you so much.
Oh, wonderful. Thank you so much for having me, Sylvia.
Thank you for listening to The Key to Licensing, One Simple Idea, the podcast. If you haven't already, please go to Apple Podcasts, subscribe, rate, and leave us a review. You can also check out our YouTube shows, Invention Licensing with David Fidwa, Straight to Licensing with Amy Jo Brogan, and Invent Right TV with Stephen Key and Andrew Krause. Join me next week for another interview. Thank you for listening, and keep inventing.